You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Kathy Klein says that depends on your situation.
Both have pros and cons. Phoenix realtor Lisa Johnson says owning means stability.
You can also take advantage of tax breaks for homeowners. Your housing payment, if you get a fixed loan, will be stable. And then your home is also going to be an investment.
On the other hand,
if you're just fresh out of school and you're not sure if your job is going to take you to another city, then perhaps you wouldn't want to buy right then.
Johnson recommends getting approved for a mortgage loan first, then meet with a realtor to find an affordable place in a good area. I'm Kathy Klein.
Scientists are using the poliovirus to treat certain patients with a fast-growing and deadly form of brain cancer. CBS 60 Minutes spent 10 months following the Duke University biologists doing the experimental treatment and some of the 22 participants for an episode that aired on Sunday. Donna Clegg is patient number 14.
I want to be able to live. So that's kind of how I feel, that this is going to be my opportunity to have a full life.
While half the patients with glioblastoma have died, two patients are now cancer-free. Dr. Peter Marks is overseeing the polio trial and says it's important to be realistic about this type of treatment.
We do have to be cautious because sometimes people just get lucky. The first patients they treat with the therapy respond very well, but subsequently additional patients don't.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Today, cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny, high near 53. A little breezy, west wind 15 to 21 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 30. Rain likely on Tuesday in the afternoon. Increasing clouds, high near 46. Tuesday night, rain likely before midnight. And a slight chance of maybe some mix as the temperature dips down to around 32. Wednesday, sunny, high near 48. Clear on the overnight, low in the 30s. Clear on Thursday. Chance of showers Thursday night. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low around 50. Showers likely on Friday, high in the 60s. Showers again Friday night, and low in the 40s. Then Saturday, showers again, hopefully cleared up by Sunday, Easter. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here, coming to you live Monday mornings, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Also, podcasts available for your listening enjoyment. If you happen not to tune in live, always can find it on our website. So, food celebrations, food coming up, Easter, however you celebrate it. Early this year, and of course, some of the spring food might not, at least in the Northeast, with the cool weather we're having, and a lot of the rest of the country down south, a lot of rain. Tough to get the planting going. We'll see what happens this summer with everything. Of course, every year there's some mini trick that Mother Nature plays on us, and we seem to recover anyway. So, Easter. Fairly good home cooking day, although the restaurants are fairly busy. A lot of people like brunch. If they've been to church in the morning or for whatever reason, it's a good day. Brunch is kind of a nice meal, kind of sets the stage for the day, kind of a relaxing day. That late breakfast slash early lunch. At Jake's, we'll serve dinner all day from 12 to 8. We'll have a couple of specials on there. Traditionally, we do a baked ham. We do roast lamb. The halibut's running again, so definitely have some halibut. I remember a couple of years ago, it was warm. We actually had soft-shell crabs for Easter, but not so this year with the cool weather. And then we usually do a chicken special. Had a good week this week, restaurant week. Hopefully everybody, if you could, get out and enjoy things. Local restaurants here in Flemington and a couple in the township participated, so hopefully you got a chance to get out and taste some new things. Give the local guys a break here. A little business always helps out. So, eating the week. Some little holidays, if you will, daily holidays, celebrations of food. There's every day of the year. Sometimes there's multiple things happening on each day. Each day is dedicated to a different food or sometimes beverage. And also, we're up to the letter I with our terms or kitchen utensils. So we'll see what we can dig up here. Not as prolific a letter as some of the other ones, but we're somehow finding our way through it. So, eating the week today would be turkey neck soup day. I don't know how turkey neck soup got to be dedicated a day, but if you've ever cooked turkeys, and of course if you save, I always use the neck and the giblets for stock for gravy, but very good for soup. A lot of good flavor in there, and of course you simmer it long enough to where the meat kind of shreds off. Otherwise, turkey necks are kind of hard to eat. And you make sure, of course, when you get your turkey that, and I don't know if you can even buy some extra ones. Maybe a butcher somewhere would have some. But another cut that would work very well would be the drumsticks. If you like drumsticks, of course, everybody, when we were kids, we always have a little drawing for the drumstick on the turkey. There's only two, so couldn't find any eight-legged turkeys around, so we had to share. But turkey, definitely drumsticks would make a nice soup. And some people even use the smoked legs or smoked drumsticks if you want kind of that ham flavor. You could really take it a lot of different directions. But with the neck, make sure you braise it or simmer it long enough. You don't have to do a hard boil. And then the meat will shred off, and you have very tasty soup. Oranges and lemons on the 31st tomorrow. So both of our citrus fruits get celebrated the same day. And also clam on the half-shell day, for those of you like that. Of course, that's always good with a fresh squeeze of lemon on it. And there's actually a St. Clement's drink. I guess you could call it a soda if you want. And it's one part orange juice and one part of either lemonade or a lemon seltzer water would be good if you don't want it too sweet. Mix the two together. Also, we used to use sometimes a lemon-lime soda, if a fruit salad was a little bit, say the fruit was a little bit underripe, and you want to sweeten it up, a lemon-lime soda added just before you're serving it is always good. Or you could maybe a half hour before toss the fruit with the soda. But another nice one, if you've got good ripe fruit, is to use either a lemon or orange seltzer, which would not have the extra sugar in it, but would have that citrus fruit flavor. And give it a little spritz, a little effervescence, you know, the carbonation's there for a little while. A nice addition to fruit salad with oranges and lemons. You might use it if you feel better when you get home. First, April 1st, sourdough bread. And for those of you familiar with it, you know, sourdough was one of the early ways of making the bread rise. And it would call for mixing some flour and water, just equal parts, a little bit of sugar if you like, and then let the wild yeasts, which are ever present in the air, settle on there, and the yeast would start eating the sugar from the flour, and then you'd get your carbon dioxide bubbles that would help the bread rise. And the idea was, well, you had your starter, and you would use some of that in the bread and save the other half, and you had to feed it every day. And by feeding it, we would just add more fresh water and flour to the starter that's already there. And, of course, you're giving the yeast more food with fresh flour. And so you'd have a full batch of starter for the next day. And there, I guess there's some bakeries probably, and even brewers rely on yeasts, wineries, winemakers rely on yeasts, anything fermented. But some of these famous bakeries have starter that they've had for decades, and they keep the same one going. So what that does, you know, you don't have to proof the yeast every time, worry about buying yeast. You have your starter, you keep it in the refrigerator, and you just have to feed it every day. That's all. Just keep feeding it fresh flour. The second is peanut butter and jelly day. Classic sandwich we all had as kids, but that might be good on some sourdough bread. Think about it. The third is chocolate mousse day, which we're going to go over a little recipe incorporating actually some oranges to kind of tie the 2 days together. The fourth, carrots day. Give you a couple of ways to cook your carrots. Carrots are, of course, we think of those in the Easter, rabbits, carrots, the whole thing ties in together. We'll feature a carrot cake that day, but I always think of those. They're good year round, a root vegetable, but sometimes in the spring or the early planting, we want the tiny carrots. If you can find them with the tops on them already, nice and green, you'll know they're very fresh, be very sweet. And then the fifth, raisin and spice bar, which I'm not actually really familiar with, but it's also deep dish pizza day. So on the fifth, the end of the week, maybe that would be something, especially in the Northeast. Of course, everybody likes the thin crust pizza, but a deep dish is a full meal and different kind of dough. Something I like to change. They're both one's more like a pie, and the other one is more like a sandwich. But it's all good. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll get on with the show. Talk give you. Couple of recipes, chocolate mousse, some carrots, talk about Easter, about our roasts, and then some letter I words for cooking terms. Chef Bill's Table. Are you reeling in the years?
Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up the tea? I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Are you tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant
with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information. Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to forwardnewjersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Back at the table here, talking about several things here, Easter being one of them. So we're on the eating of the week. So in a nice chocolate mousse recipe. Chocolate mousse obviously would be a nice, it's a classic dessert. And the difference, of course, between a pudding and a mousse, pudding has a thickening agent into it. It's usually some cornstarch and or a little bit of flour. And normally cooked, and yeah, some people, I guess, would make a pudding with maybe a little less milk and then fold in some whipped cream and call that a mousse. I guess, you know, gives you that lighter flavor. Really, the mousse is lightened up with whipped egg whites, if you like. Not necessary. I like them in there. It makes it save the egg instead of wasting half of it. Sometimes you'll see mousses, frozen ones. Some have gelatin in them. No need for gelatin. Use good chocolate. And what we're going to do is use, I usually like a little espresso and a little brandy in the chocolate mix with the mousse, but we're going to do some with oranges because orange and lemon day. So we're going to use some orange liqueur, some orange zest, and some orange juice. So, and the chocolate, if you use unsweetened chocolate, then of course you have to add sugar. If you're using, say, 6 ounces of unsweetened chocolate, you've got to put in about a cup of sugar. I like to use the semi-sweet chocolate morsels, chocolate chips they're called, or even just semi-sweet chocolate. And if you want, you know, dark chocolate, of course, there's so much available now that why not give it a little more intense flavor? So if you have 12 ounces of, let's say, chocolate chips, and we want semi-sweet, not full-blown sugar. We're going to add a little sugar to this anyway. 2 tablespoons of fresh orange juice. Squeeze an orange, and also we need 2 teaspoons of orange zest. So remember, zest, take that orange part of the peel with your grater or your microplane. Not the whiter part, that's a little bit bitter, just the orange part. So we need 2 teaspoons of that, and then after you've zested the orange, you'll squeeze half of it to get a couple of tablespoons of juice. And then some orange liqueur, 2 tablespoons, which could be Grand Marnier, if you so desire, but also Curacao or Triple Sec will work just fine. And then we have six eggs, which we're going to separate. We need to separate the yolks from the whites. Make sure, please, when you're separating them, that no yolk gets into the white, or else the whites won't whip that well. I do them one at a time. So I use each egg. I'll separate the whites over a small bowl, put the yolks in another, and then transfer the one egg white to the bowl that I'm going to whip them in. And then separate each egg over the small bowl. If a little bit of whites get in with the yolks, it's not a big deal, but any fat that gets in the whites, of course, will not give you as good a volume. So I do the whites. If I see a little egg yolk in there, I can set it aside for something else or try to fish it out, but you really want to make sure that no fat gets in there. So we have our six yolks, six whites, and then a cup of whipping cream and a half cup of sugar. So we're going to melt a double boiler, which would be simmering water, low heat, and in your bowl or your double boiler pot, you're going to melt the 12 ounces of chocolate chips with the orange juice, the orange liqueur, and the orange zest. And do that slowly, just let the chocolate melt. And then off the heat, we add the six yolks. Whisk those in there very completely. Do it fairly fast. You don't want to cook the egg yolks anymore. They're just going to kind of temper them. And then in your other bowl, you're going to whip the six egg whites with a half cup of sugar. I like to use the super fine. Dissolves better. So you have kind of a light meringue type thing. So now you've got your chocolate and your yolk mixture. Let it cool off a little bit. And you have your whipped egg whites. And, of course, you're going to whip your heavy cream. You've added the sugar to the whites, that kind of stabilizes them. And then the cream then does not have to be sweetened. So folding. So we want to do the whites into the chocolate mixture first. What we do is take a little bit of the egg white and add it to the chocolate mixture and kind of blend it in to start. You've got two things with different textures that you're trying to bring together, and you don't want to deflate the egg whites. Another way is to take a little bit of the chocolate mixture and pour it into the egg white mixture. Start folding that, and what you're doing is kind of with a spatula, scooping down, following the contour of the bowl, and kind of lifting the product up and over. So you're kind of turning the spatula. Think of it as making circles sideways with the spatula. So you have your whites into your chocolate mixture, and when that's fairly smooth, then you will do the same thing with the whipped cream. You'll fold that in so you get an homogeneous appearance. You don't want chunks of dark chocolate and little white pigments there. You want everything to be smooth. You do this fairly rapidly because, you don't want to deflate the whites. And then you can either put them, I used to put them in champagne saucers. You could do individual dishes, or you can just put it in a bowl if you want to scoop it. Now, this mousse, of course, you chill it. We used to actually serve it frozen. That's why I like to put it in the individual glassware, and just it freezes up fairly quickly, and then you've got this kind of like homemade chocolate ice cream, if you will, because you can just freeze it in a container and scoop it. It's very good. And if you don't have an ice cream maker, good way to make an ice cream. And after all, ice cream is just got a lot of air in it anyway. Now with our carrots, simple recipe, of course, if you can find the tricolor carrots, we've used those before. Jake's looking forward again. I'm going to get some this spring, I think. And carrots like apples and potatoes, many varieties out there. We've settled on kind of just the orange one, but I buy these tricolor ones, and actually some are four. You've got the regular orange carrot, then you've got some that are deeper red. You've got purple carrots. They come in at least those three colors or varying shades of the orange. And usually a little smaller, not big fat carrots. You need to wash them. You don't really need to peel them. If you get them very fresh, just wash them very well. We like to roast these. If you boil them all together, unfortunately with the purple carrots, the the color can kind of bleed out there. So we like to roast these. Cut them into either, I guess you could do slices, but you could do a little bit better than that. I cut them into, say, 1.5 inches or so cylinders and maybe quarter them. So they're nice little stout sticks there. Or you could do them whole. If they're not that big, just roast the carrots whole, and then you can cut them afterwards. But roasting them, a little olive oil or canola, whichever you like, a little salt and pepper. A nice thing to do with these also, if you carrots and ginger work well. If you want to toss them, a little powdered ginger or cumin. Cumin is another nice thing to add to carrots. And if they don't taste as sweet, put a little sugar in the rub too. Just toss them around, roast them 400 degrees till they're soft, and then you can save them. They're actually good room temperature or hot, so serve them as a vegetable or even have them as a snack. Another quick one, again, cutting the carrots, the batonettes or small sticks, carrots vichy, V-I-C-H-Y, named after the vichy water. I don't know if anybody remembers vichy water before there was all this mineral water from France, from the springs. So the water's, of course, carbonated a little bit, but it's also got a lot of minerals in it. Now, if you want to use any other kind of mineral water, of course, that's fine. You can also just add a little, we use minimal water, just enough to cover the carrots, a little salt and sugar, and then a pat of butter. Not much, just a little, you know, a couple little pats there of butter, say if you're doing 1 pound of carrots. And we cook this until the water is almost gone. So we start, you know, water. Once the water comes to a boil, simmer the carrots. And what you want to do is get this down to where the water's almost gone. What happens is then we've got that little bit of sugar in there. The salt has flavored the carrots, and your little fat from the butter makes kind of a light glaze. What I like to do after they're done is toss in a little parsley, and even some minced chives would be great. And give you a nice, simple carrots vichy. I know I used to make it for my family all the time. The kids, of course, kids like sweet vegetables anyway, but the carrots were always a winner. You don't want to cook them till they're moist, but you do want them completely cooked. As good as raw carrots are, some vegetables, you either want them raw or cooked. The al dente carrot kind of fools you. You bite into it soft, then you get the... you develop the flavor better with... cooking it fully. So roast or do some carrots vichy. So we're going to break for the news on the half hour and a couple of messages, or one message actually, and we'll be back at the table, talk about infusion, induction, immersion blender, maybe ice cream maker, who knows. Get some ideas how to use this equipment and then talk about some Easter ideas. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. The deadline is rapidly approaching for the U.S. and 5 other world powers to agree with Iran on a deal to control that nation's nuclear program. The 6 powers want to see more than a 10-year suspension of Iran's most troubling work in hopes of keeping the country from developing a nuclear weapon. Tuesday is the deadline for reaching an agreement. Syria's embattled president says he's open to having a dialogue with the United States.
Every dialogue is a positive thing, and we're going to be open to any dialogue with anyone, including the United States.
In an interview with CBS 60 Minutes on Sunday, President Bashar al-Assad also insisted he won't compromise the sovereignty of his country. Computer problems are slowing down JetBlue Airways. The airline confirmed a widespread system outage earlier this morning that forced crews to hand-check in passengers. Stocks are higher with the start of the new week. Analysts say global markets were boosted by a speech made Friday by the head of the Federal Reserve. Dow Jones Industrial Average, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 were all ahead in early trading. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so you own a business and cash is tight. So what do you do when you need funds? Go to a bank? Yeah, right. Waste a lot of time, send tons of paperwork, only to find out you need to personally guarantee your home, firstborn, and everything in between. Or you can just call the Business Funding Group. Yeah, it's fast and simple, with a 95% approval rate and cash for any business purpose. Equipment, inventory, expansion, cash flow, payroll. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-684-5434. That's 1-800-684-5434. When you call, you'll find out how to quickly and easily get the cash you need, up to $1 million with no collateral, no app or upfront fees, and your credit rating is not a factor. Plus, approvals in 12 hours and funds in 2 to 3 days. Call the Business Funding Group at 1-800-684-5434. That's 1-800-684-5434. This is by far the fastest and best business loan you can possibly get. Call 1-800-684-5434 now.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill, we're talking about variety of things today, kind of letting our minds wander a little bit. So letter I for utensils, infusion, what do we mean by an infusion? And sometimes you'll see that on a menu. We're actually doing tomorrow night at Polytech. Students are going to make a bay leaf infused flan for a dessert. Something that seems to be growing in popularity now, where pastry chefs are using things that would be considered more for savory, actually use them in desserts. You see herbs, sorbets, things like that being used. So I'm going to put the bay leaf, and when we infuse something, we're going, if you think, you know, best example of infusion is tea. Unlike coffee that just has a short brewing time, the tea, you steep the tea in the hot liquid. And the liquid could be water, obviously, or oil. And what you're trying to do is get flavor from one thing into the liquid. So think of tea as your example. But for the bay leaf, what we'll do is you've got to heat the milk for the, or the cream for the flan, and let it sit for a while so it picks up that flavor of the bay leaf, and then of course we'll remove the bay leaf. If you think of when we make the virgin mojitos over there, we'll make simple syrup, which we'll heat the equal parts of sugar and water, and when it's still warm, we'll crush the mint right in there, and it kind of infuses that syrup, couple of lime wedges and some mint, and then use that as a base for a mojito. And even without alcohol, we use some club soda and a little more fresh mint, and you've got a nice refreshing drink. I've done before with, say, chocolate ganache, and you want a little hot pepper in there, I'll infuse the cream for the ganache with some chipotle peppers in adobo, the little hot smoked, the smoked dried jalapenos, and using a little red sauce. I'll put a couple of those peppers in the cream, let it steep for a while, then strain them out to give that mild spice to a chocolate ganache. At Jake's at the restaurant, we infuse an olive oil with rosemary and garlic. So you've got the flavor of the garlic, but not the bits, not the raw part. And, of course, rosemary, the leaves there are kind of tough. They kind of spread into everything. Some people aren't crazy about them, but the flavor is very, very perfumey, if you will. And so we will heat the olive oil gently with cloves of garlic and rosemary, and then let it sit for a while, again, steep to draw out some flavors, and then strain it. And that's an oil we'll use, actually a finishing oil for fried calamari, which seems odd to put olive oil on fried food, but actually, you know, with a little squeeze of lemon, really, really does work, if you've never tried it. And, of course, when the oil hits the hot calamari, it releases the aroma. We also drizzle some of this over our pizza margarita. You think of it, you have your fresh mozzarella, not a lot of fat in it, and so you want that, it's a finishing oil, it's after the pizza comes out of the oven, so we use this infused oil for a couple of things. So infusions are a way to get flavor into a liquid that you're going to use later for something else. Some, I guess you can buy flavored olive oils, sometimes they're just steeped for a long time. And I like to heat them a little bit. And again, not cooking as much as just helping release some of the flavor for your infusion. Another great tool that's come along is the immersion blender. Some people call it a blender stick. I think Emeril used to call it his boat motor, which we have one at the restaurant. It's you know, half a horsepower. It probably could run a small boat with it, but the blender stick, really great innovation. In the past, when you had to puree something, of course, the original way, you'd use a food mill or a ricer or something. People would use the stand-up upright blender, which you put the hot liquid in there. You have to worry about, you know, you have to hold the top down tightly. Then the food processor came along. That was a little bit easier to use. But you still have to wash the thing. You know, you're washing two things. The immersion blender in the pot that you cook in, you simply put the blender in there and then turn it on. I don't like to turn it on first and then put it in the product because you tend to splatter a little bit. Make sure your pot's deep enough because you will get a little bit. Sometimes if you lift it out too high, you might get a little splattering there. But the immersion blender, you can puree right in the same pot. And unless you're going to strain, I know, say, something like a cream of asparagus soup, we like to strain because some of the fibers might still be present. Maybe a cream of celery. If you've used branch celery instead of celery root, you might want to strain. But for the most part, for most people, you blend whatever's in there, and then you can just finish it. You don't have a blender or a food processor to wash, and everything's done in the one pot. So the immersion blender, the only thing I find it's not really good for, whipping cream. The one we have has an attachment that runs to whip type things for doing that sort of thing. It's a commercial one, but I don't know if the home ones would have that or not. But that would be, I saw a student try to do that once and it really does not work. And I know when I'm making what I call my short rib sauce, when I have the liquid from short ribs with all the vegetables in there, and of course I make sure I take out the bay leaf. I don't want to slice that up. But I will use the immersion blender and puree the vegetables with the broth, and that thickens the sauce, especially when there's some onions in there, especially carrots. Carrots are great for that because they not only sweeten, but they add a little bit of fat, a little texture. And so I end up with this puree. And You could keep it rustic and serve it as is. What I'll do at the restaurant, of course, again, is strain it to make sure any fibers are out. And then it's not thick like a gravy, but a little viscosity to it, enough to coat the meat. And then if you need to reduce it a little bit, you can, or enrich it with a little whole butter if you want to thicken it up. But what we call the short rib sauce is simply the pureed vegetables thickening the sauce. And if you have a gluten intolerance, a wheat gluten issue, it's a good way to thicken things without using any starch. Another neat implement that's come along is the induction cooker. And I think you see these on the, there's infomercials out there. We've used them for quite a while. And you see them on buffets often because you may have, a pasta bar or an omelet bar. And we used to buy the little cassettes that ran off the liquid propane gas. So you've got a little flame there. The induction ones just plug in. And it's electromagnetic induction, so the surface does not heat up. This is what's neat about it. I mean, to buy one, you know, the stoves cost, you know, double or more what regular stoves cost. But electric-wise, of course, you're not using as high an amperage because you're not creating heat. It's electromagnetic. So you need pans made out of certain materials, and they have to be, of course, flat so you make contact. But you boil water in a matter of, you know, a minute and a half, because it's just getting the water molecules moving around in a magnetic field. If you lift the pan or pot off the heat, of course, everything stops. You see the pictures of somebody boiling pasta and having an ice cube on the surface right next to the pot, and of course, the ice cube isn't melting. But the induction cooking is the way of the future, I think, again, for saving energy. When you think about it, you're heating up, especially on a flat top surface, you're heating that surface and then putting another flat thing on there trying to heat that. A lot of heat gets thrown off into the air. So an electric stove, you know, kind of an efficient heat transfer that way. And then, of course, your gas stove, you have the flame, but how much of that heat just goes up and around the pot and does not get transferred into the liquid. So you're going a heat source through a pot into the liquid. The induction cooking, of course, electromagnetic. You don't waste that energy in heat transfer. So yes, it's a big investment, but the control you get is phenomenal. You can boil it rapidly. It's kind of hard to get used to if you're used to flipping things around and standard sautéing. But for something like a stir fry, if you have a flat bottom wok and put it on there, just leave it on there. You're going to get that nice high heat. So yes, induction cooking, I know, again, on buffets you don't have the danger of open flame and more efficient heat transfer. So another innovation coming along in the kitchen. Of course, the other neat thing people do now, making ice cream. And if you have an ice cream maker, they range from little ones that are battery operated that you can put in your freezer. I know when we were kids, I think we made it once with my father must have borrowed an old hand crank, the wooden barrel there. You put the crushed ice and the salt. Of course, the salt lowers the freezing point. And what you're doing is just churning the ice cream. You want to freeze evenly so you don't have crystallization. And also, the profit maker for ice cream companies is what we call overrun, which that's the air that goes in there. So it helps the texture. Difference being a gelato does not have the extra air whipped in, so you have a much more intense flavor, and you don't have to even eat so much of it. But an ice cream maker, making your own, you can control the flavoring that you want. Again, controlling the overrun is the most important part. You don't, if you don't put too much air in there, you get a nice intense flavor. We've got a break for a couple of messages. We'll be back at the table and figure out something for Easter. Babylon.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Back at the table here. So what are we going to do for Easter? So some folks like brunch, some folks like dinner. Of course, the traditional roast that we do at the restaurant, ham, baked ham, and of course the leg of lamb. Always work out. And then halibut, one of the great fish of the ocean. So first let's think of brunch, eggs. Eggs for a crowd. What do we do? Difficult, of course, you know, a lot of people just do a big pot of scrambled eggs, and I like to do them soft, but some people like them hard. Frittata is always nice, the baked Italian omelet. You can do either in a oven-proof skillet, or I've done them even in a rectangular baking dish. just bake the whole thing. It's like a quiche without a crust, if you will. Then you can put your garnishes in there, whatever you like, meat, vegetables. A souffle omelet is nice. My mother used to make that. It would be a big puffy omelet. That was our traditional brunch with a Danish ham and a souffle omelet. She would whip up the eggs to a frenzy there, so they air incorporated. Another easy way is to whip the whites and the whips, whip the whites separately and fold them into the yolks. A little bit of milk. If you want to put the cheese right in, you can. It's actually, so, you know, say for one, three eggs separated, a tablespoon of milk, quarter teaspoon of salt, and then you need a couple of tablespoons of butter for the pan. What you do, and you have your broiler on, which is an easy way to finish this. So you have your, you heat your pan, and you have your egg mixture in there. Have your garnish ready on the sides. A nice one, you know, crab and artichoke, crab and asparagus, even if you had some, just some vegetables. Whatever you're doing, have them cooked and on the side. And you'll cook the this mousse-like mixture till it's brown on the bottom, and then slide it under the broiler, and then fold it over. It's just a folded omelet, not any fancy techniques with rolling it. You're just going to fold it over the filling, or just serve it as is. We also use this technique for a quick dessert, an omelet, and use either, you know, a little raspberry or orange or cherry, have some fruits and a little sugar into the egg mixture, and brown it, finish it, and then fold it right over the fruit. A sweet omelet, again, nice texture, nice sweet dessert, gluten-free. If you like something like that, you've got your structure from the whipped egg whites, so that works out. Also, eggs for a crowd. Baked eggs in ramekins always will work. You can line the ramekin with whatever garnish you like, whether you want something as simple as a little heavy cream, if you want a mushroom mixture that's cooked, you want ham, you want a piece of hard cheese. But these ramekins should be oven-proof, and then we bake those in a little bit of water, water bath, bain marie we call that. So you have your rectangular baking dish and you put the ramekins in there, and then you have some hot water. Once the oven, you only need, you know, it keeps the some steam in the oven and it keeps things from overcooking. So you've got hot water, and what I do is put the pan in the oven first on the shelf, and then with something you can pour easily, pour like an inch or so of the hot water in there and bake them that way so they don't overcook. This way you can get a soft-cooked egg. You can tell when they're done. They'll hold the heat and easy to serve instead of trying to fry or poach eggs for a lot of people. Another way I'd feature eggs, of course, with the halibut, an old sauce. Dating myself here, creamed egg sauce, used to call it eggs goldenrod, and pretty simple. I know, obviously, a nice hollandaise or something would be a nice way to enrich the halibut, but if you want something a little bit different, a little easier, more stable, you make a bechamel, a white sauce, with your little bit of flour and butter, a little roux, and your milk, and then, of course, season it. Salt, pepper, a little paprika if you like. And then what we do is take hard-cooked eggs and cut them in quarters, chop them coarsely, and fold them into the white sauce once it's made. And so you have a nice little more texture. You could also make a quick one. You could actually do just a little heavy cream and whole butter reduction. I would like a few capers in there myself, but be a nice sauce for your halibut, a goldenrod sauce. And some people use those just over toast, little strips of ham or prosciutto in there, or bacon rashers, anything like that. Bacon and fish actually go well together. So if you had, say, a halibut or a nice fluke fillet that you've baked, you could have this sauce and kind of make it brunch, right? If I was baking fluke, of course, instead of doing it flat, whenever you get a fillet fish like that for a crowd, I cut the fillet in half lengthwise, and then you make what we call turbans. You roll them up and stand them up on end on the cut side. That way, keeps them moist inside, very easy to handle, especially a firm fillet like a fluke. Once they're cooked, again, you can bake them. We always splash a little wine or lemon and some butter, and makes a nice presentation, easy to handle, and you can fit a lot of fillets in a pan that way instead of spreading them out. They'll take a little longer to cook, but I've done that even in even for pasta with a sauce. Just bake the turbans in a little red sauce and then put it over pasta. Really keeps the moisture in there, and as I say, very easy to handle. You want to do fish for a crowd. Of course, our roasts always the traditional, the ham. Talked about the ham last week, whether you use the shank or the butt portion. Sauces for the ham. You see something as simple as thickening up basically fruit cocktail or pineapple, which is, it's okay. The salty ham, you know, a sweet sauce is okay, I guess. I like to do a raisin sauce sometimes, and I plump the raisins in some hot chicken broth. And for this sauce, of course, your pan drippings, or you could make it on the side, saute some shallots, and I'll use a little sherry vinegar, and then the plumped raisins. Now, you can thicken this with a little bit of flour or cornstarch if you want, the slurry, or use that butter pat finish and keep it a little bit thinner. But the raisins plumped like that with the salty broth, they're going to, it's got sweet, salty flavor. And the sherry vinegar gives you a little bit of acid. You could use even regular sherry wine. The vinegar really helps with it, though. Kind of gives you that sweet, sour, salty, total combination there. And, of course, another, even a regular Madeira sauce is nice. Madeira kind of tasting like sherry, fortified wine. You make a basic brown sauce, your espagnole with your beef broth, a little tomato paste and vegetables. Short rib sauce, if you will, and then add, just thin it out with a little bit of Madeira at the end. Very refined wine, doesn't have to cook long in the product. And the other one, I guess, a sauce Robert. And then that's a classic white wine sauce with, we have a little, start with a little butter and shallot, and we use a little bit of white wine. Some people use a little vinegar. A little pinch of sugar and some Dijon mustard, and then again, your brown sauce. So it's kind of a variation of the brown sauce, but also very good with ham. Running out of time. We're up against the hour. Got to move on for news. Everybody enjoy your holiday. I've got Richard waiting in the wings here. So we'll talk to you next week. Chef Bill's Table.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The co-pilot of the German Wings passenger plane that crashed in the French Alps had received treatment for suicidal tendencies.
He had, at that time, been in treatment of a psychotherapist because of what is documented as being suicidal.
That was prosecutor Christoph Kumpa. Authorities do not have a motive and claim Lubitz showed no signs of a physical illness. Tomorrow is the deadline for a framework for an Iran nuclear deal. The U.S. and five permanent members of the U.N. Security Council are in negotiations. British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond says a deal can be reached if Iran agrees to give up any prospect of developing nuclear weapons.
Iran has got to take a deep breath and make some tough decisions.
The sides have made some progress, but differences remain in the timing and scope of sanctions removal. This is USA Radio News.
Now, kid, I know you look at me and think, man, that guy knows everything. And you're right, I do. But occasionally, even I get stumped. I know, hard to believe. But when I need help, I get it from Grainger. Grainger can solve just about anything, from finding the right products to advice on installation to troubleshooting. Grainger gets me what I need right when I need it. When a guru needs a guru, who does a guru call? Guru calls Grainger.